Hey, this is Brian Zond, and I'm glad that you're interested in the podcast. You know, it's a free podcast, and it'll always be that way. But if you would like to give and help us out, that would be awesome, deeply appreciated. If you want to do that, you can do that through the Word of Life website or through the Word of Life mobile app. Anyway, God bless you. I hope you enjoy the podcast. We have been waiting with Isaiah, with his prophetic Christmas poems. Of course, Isaiah wouldn't have called them Christmas poems. He wouldn't have known the word Christmas, but what he was foreseeing and foretelling in his poems has really become the primary source for our Christmas cards and carols, and we've been looking at those during Advent leading up to Christmas. And now on Christmas Day, we're going to look at one more of Isaiah's Christmas poems, and this is maybe the best. It's certainly the clearest, the most explicit, because this is the poem that speaks of a child being born. This is the Prince of Peace poem. We find it in Isaiah chapter 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. My Christmas Day sermon is entitled, A Government of Peace and Goodwill. Now keep in mind that Isaiah wrote his Prince of Peace Christmas poem 700 years before the birth of Jesus. The poem begins with Isaiah describing Galilee, the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, as a land of doom and gloom. He says, nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. And so, you see, because of its location, the land of Zebulun, Naphtali, the land of Galilee, was often the site of many bloody battles. Isaiah describes Galilee as distressed by gloom, heavily oppressed, and lightly esteemed. But then Isaiah says that in the future, the people of that land, the land of Galilee, will see a great light. Instead of doom and gloom, the people of Galilee will have an abundance of joy. He says that wars will cease and the bloodstained garments of battle will become a relic of the past. Well, what happens that causes this change of fortune for Galilee? Well, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So it's that birth, the birth of that child, that we're celebrating today. Now the shepherds that were keeping watch over their flocks by night, they were the first to know about the birth of this baby foretold by Isaiah. The angels came and
told them. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." With the birth of Jesus Christ, the world is given a new government. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the government of heaven. It's the government of peace and goodwill. And heaven's government of peace and goodwill, which has come to earth, has come because the Prince of Peace has been born and has now been enthroned, and the government is upon his shoulder. Now, if you say, "Well, I can't wait. I can't wait. I mean, I can't wait for the government to be on Jesus' shoulder. I can't wait for this all to come true. I can't wait for the government of peace and goodwill to be here. I can't wait." Well, then don't. Don't wait for it. Believe it and live into it right now. Say, "That's my government. That's the government I'm going to live under." Do it right now. But then you might say, "Well, you know, can we do it? I mean, can we actually live like we believe the lyrics to the Christmas carols that we sing?" You say, "It's kind of hard, you know, in this world of evil and war." And can we do it? Sure we can. People do it all the time. And sometimes they do it in the most remarkable ways. I'm thinking of the true story of the Christmas truce. True story. It was 1914. Europe was being torn apart by World War I. It was on the Western Front. British and French troops allied together against German troops. And now they'd entered into the hell and horror of trench warfare that would take so many countless lives and be the formal introduction of modern warfare upon the world. 1914, World War I, Western Front, 100,000 French, British, German troops in their trenches on Christmas. On Christmas. Shivering in the cold, hunkered down in their trenches, in the bloody hell that was sweeping across Europe. But it was Christmas. And the Germans started singing some of their Christmas carols. And then so did the British and so did the French. Singing the Christmas carols they knew. Singing them in their own tongues, the Germans and Germans, the French and French, the English and English. But, you know, the tunes are the same. So you can recognize the carol that's being sung even if you don't know German. And a miracle happened. And in those trenches, they started singing the same carols. German over here. French and British over here. Told they have to hate and kill one another, but they're singing the same Christmas carols. Finally, one brave soldier lifted his head up above the trench, and nobody took a shot. Some other soldiers finally had enough courage to actually climb up out of the trench and walk into the open battlefield, and no one took a shot. And what happened is, it's a true story. On Christmas Day, 1914, on the Western Front, the Germans and the Brits and the French came up out of their trenches and they met on the battlefield and first exchanged handshakes and then gifts. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, they took communion together. Wow. And then played a soccer match. That's how we should settle things. Just have a soccer match to settle it. Act like civilized people. Well, the story of the World War I Christmas truce is told in my favorite Christmas movie. I have lots of favorite Christmas movies. Christmas Carol, Christmas Story, It's a Wonderful Life. But I also like Joie Noël. A lot of it's in French, I think. Some of it's in French. Subtitles. It's worth watching. It's one of my five favorite Christmas movies. It really is. I love that movie. There's a memorial to that event still in this field in France, commemorating the day when soldiers took communion and turned a battleground into a playground. Instead of trying to kill each other, they said, oh, let's exchange gifts and play a soccer match. Well, when they did that, when those soldiers came up out of their, we talked about being entrenched in us versus them, when they came up out of their trench because they're singing common songs, common carols, and took communion, they were living under the government, God's government of peace and goodwill. They were no longer really under the German government or the French government or the British government. And some of the officers got in trouble for this. But what happened is they were living under a new government. The government of God and His peace and His goodwill. And how did such a thing as the Christmas truce happen? By singing Christmas carols. And acting as if the words they sang were true. So on this Christmas day, let's sing a carol of peace and goodwill. And then come to the communion table. And go out and play a soccer match or something. I don't know. But go out and live as if the words we sing are true. Yes. And be citizens of God's government of peace and goodwill. Stand with me. Let's sing this carol together.